John Eldridge, how goes the battle?
Well, it's going well. You know, we're working hard in the final stretch, and I think this is really going to be a turnout year across the country and also here in New York 19. So we are very focused on turning out the vote. Obviously, in a non-presidential year, you get a lower turnout number than you would in a presidential year. So we've been very focused on knocking on doors, making phone calls, making sure that people realize how important this election is. We're over 400,000 phone calls and door knocks, more than 1,000 volunteers.
Wait, how do you get 400,000 door knocks?
Well, with the help of more than 1,000 volunteers. It's been, you know, when you take on something as big as running for Congress, you hope you're going to get a lot of help, but you never know what's actually going to happen until you dive in. And in a moment where there's so much cynicism and negativity in politics, it's been pretty inspiring to have more than 1,000 people step up, get involved, make those phone calls. We have 7 field offices from Oneonta to Hyde Park, and we're working hard on turning out the vote. So I think that's going to make a big difference for us.
Now, its perception is that you have some money. And the question then is, does that hurt your fundraising?
Well, you know, I'm really proud that we've had more than 4,000 individual donors in our campaign. About 75% of our contributions are $50 or less. So we've had a lot of help, a lot of support, and I'm certainly invested in my own campaign. And we've certainly seen a lot
of... How much?
We are, you know, we're about even in spending in total with Congressman Gibson when you add up the outside spending. So folks have probably seen a lot of the TV ads, especially in the Albany area. And, you know, we've talked about this before. I think we badly need campaign finance reform. I think we have way too much money in corporate money in our politics. But Congressman Gibson has been relying on very large super PACs to do a lot of these nasty attack ads that we've seen. You know, one of them is the National Chamber of Commerce, a large corporate group that doesn't even disclose its donors. So it's what's known as dark money. We don't even know where those contributions are coming from. So I'm proud.
But just for the sake of it, because he has resented some of the attacks, you know, that you make on him. The question to you is he, Gibson, he's getting money from some of the PACs. Are you?
So we're not taking any corporate PAC support at all. And, you know, I'm in a position where I can invest in my own campaign and make sure that I'm accountable only to the voters. But look, we have to build a system where you don't have to be independently wealthy or extremely well connected with wealthy people to be able to run for office. And we don't have that system now. And it's way too much money. I want to fight for campaign finance reform to get rid of Citizens United. And I'd say this, Congressman Gibson and John Boehner have had 4 years of being in charge in the House. They haven't done anything on campaign finance reform, specifically to Congressman Gibson. He hasn't signed on to one bill, whether it's the Disclose Act, whether it's a bill to deal with Citizens United. He hasn't signed on to any legislation to deal with campaign finance reform. On day one, I will join the fight to reform our campaign finance system, because right now, voters aren't being heard. They're being drowned out by corporate money, by special interest money. And if we're seeing this much money now in this campaign, where are we heading in 2 years and 4 years? It's pretty frightening trajectory.
Sean, how close is this election?
Well, we're closing in. Our last poll showed that we had cut his lead in half. So we were about 10 points down, but we'd cut it in half, and we were heading in the right direction with about 18% of voters undecided. So that's a large number of undecideds so close to Election Day. So we anticipate it will be close. You know, this district went to President Obama by over 6 points. It leans Democratic by a whopping 1%. So it's a true swing district. It's a competitive district that isn't gerrymandered to just favor one party or another. And it makes the job of a candidate, I think, all the more important to not just say, hi, I'm a Democrat or I'm a working families candidate, but to really make the case for what the role of government should be today. And we have about a third of our district that is unaffiliated or independent. So that doesn't vote on party line. So it means we really have to talk about the issues. We have to talk about how the government can be a better partner to grow our economy and how we need to do better than the least productive Congress in the history of our country.
So what's the number one thing when you go out and campaign and knock on doors and see people that they want to talk about?
Well, certainly jobs and economic growth is at the top of the list. And I think for everyone, that means something different. For some people, that means raising the minimum wage and making sure that they can actually take care of themselves and their family. I was knocking on doors in Monticello over the weekend, and I spoke with a woman who works at the local Walmart, and she makes minimum wage. And if we were to raise the minimum wage to $10.10, which I support, and Congressman Gibson opposes the $10.10 number, she would be helped. She'd be able to support herself, and she's in an affordable housing complex now. She'd probably be able to leave and not have to rely on that safety net. So we've got to raise the minimum wage. I think we need to invest in things things like infrastructure, high-speed internet, job training, to create an ecosystem in the Hudson Valley and throughout our district that would grow our economy. But I think that the federal government needs to be a much better partner on that front. I certainly hear about taxes a lot. I think in New York State, when you add up the property taxes, the state taxes, the federal taxes, people feel like they're paying quite a bit. And one of the conversations I get into a lot is how the way we collect taxes in our country is pretty uneven, where big corporations have enormous loopholes. Some of the companies that make the largest profits in the country in some years pay almost nothing in federal taxes because they and an army of lobbyists and accountants have carved up the tax code to work for them. Well, what does that mean? That means that the burden of revenue and collecting taxes falls on the shoulders of middle-class families and small businesses. And small businesses are creating most new jobs in our region. So I think we got to have tax reform. You know, I support things like the Buffett rule to make sure that if you make more than $1 million a year, you're paying at least as much as middle-class families in taxes. Congressman Gibson opposes the Buffett rule. But I think it speaks to how broken our current system is. I shouldn't have to say that if you make more than $1 million a year, you should pay as much as middle-class families. That should be self-evident.
What's the number one thing that they say about you that the opponents hurl at you that you find most obnoxious?
Well, you know, I there's a lot of different attacks, and I think you've got to have thick skin to get into this in the first place. So,
do you have thick skin?
I do, because I think that although there's a lot said in this campaign about me and Congressman Gibson, I think at the end of the day, it's about a lot more than us. It's about our community, our country, our Congress. You know, one of the things I say at a lot of events is when we're trying to get volunteers involved and try to get people to vote is that it's your Congress. It's your representative. It's up to you. And on my own, I can only do so much. I need a community of people who wants to make a change and wants to make government work better. So, you know, I'm very proud of the work that I've done in the Hudson Valley. They certainly haven't talked about that at all, whether it was the work I've done to help small businesses or to serve on the board of Planned Parenthood and Scenic Hudson. But, you know, look, I can take the hits.
Is this in reaction to this carpet bag thing that they hurl at you?
Well, they've certainly said that, and I don't think that they've given credit to the work we've done. I think I'm proud of being very involved in the community, of having served on the Board of Economic Development for our region. And the experiences I've had in the Hudson Valley, I think, would inform the kind of congressman that I would want to be. But look, I can take the hits. You know, what I can't take is two more years of the least productive Congress in the history of our country. What I can't take is no action on climate change, no action on raising the minimum wage. And you know, you may be watching, and a lot of our supporters have been watching this Ken Burns documentary about the Roosevelts.
I loved it.
I'm on episode 4. Don't tell me how it ends. I hear good things
they
happen.
They sent it
at
to
the
me
end.
In advance, and I couldn't stop watching. Oh. I just watched every.
Well,
one
I didn't get an advance copy, but you know, I'm watching it, and I'm reminded of a moment in history where people believed that government could be part of the solution, where we created a safety net that tens of millions of Americans now rely on. And it wasn't one family. It was a country. It was a Congress that worked together, that rose to very significant challenges, and that I think helped make life better for a lot of families. And right now, we're not there. Right now, we're at a moment where Congress is focused on suing the president, focused on inaction. But in looking back and watching that documentary, I'm reminded that there was a period where people believed that government had a role to play. And I think we can return to that. But it's up to all of us to want to see that kind of progress on so many issues.
We'll return with some more tomorrow with Sean Eldridge. And we look forward to it, Sean. Thanks for being so articulate and being here with us.
Thanks for having me back.